Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Today we will be discussing the second part of a series on Fathers in Zion. I'm Matthew O. Richardson, Second Counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency, and today I'm joined by Elder Craig A. Carden, a member of the First Quorum of the 70. Welcome, Elder Carden.
Good morning. It's nice to be with you.
It's a pleasure to have you. Also joining us today is Adrian Ochoa, who's from the Young Men's General Presidency. Welcome, Adrian.
Thank you. What a privilege is to be here with both of you.
Well, actually, the privilege is all mine. And I think that in truth, and I'm going to say this at the risk of being bold, it's the privilege of everyone who is listening, because I know you both personally, and I know what great men and fathers you are. I've actually had Elder Carden, one of your sons, in one of my classes over the years, and the reflection of a father is often seen through their children, and so you reflect very nicely. And Adrian, I know your children and your wife as well, and so I am very grateful to learn from you and to hear what you can help us as fathers in becoming fathers, not just dads, and not just those individuals who have children, but fathers in the context of Zion. That's a little different approach. Adrian mentioned in an earlier session on fathers about when he became a father, and he remembers that specifically, as do all of us. And I remember when they handed me my first child, my first son, and the nurse said in the hospital, "Congratulations, Dad." I remember thinking, "Dad, how can I be a dad? I don't even own power tools." I mean, I thought I was so ill-prepared. I was a student. I was young. I didn't have anything really to contribute. I mean, I didn't have anything in a will. I had nothing. And I thought, I'm also ill-equipped to be a good father. But I did have, and I think of this often, I did have the desire to be a good father. I wanted so desperately to be a good father. So I would like to ask you and have you help me and others address the situation of how can we be better fathers in Zion? How can we fulfill not only what is our role, but how can we fulfill our roles? What are some practical things that you've experienced in your life to help you in this process of fathering? I think of Boyd K. Packer, where he said a father's responsibility is to lead his family to the church, to the covenants and ordinances. And that's always been a good guide for me. I'm thinking, okay, how can I do this? How can I do that? So what comes to your mind when I say being a good father in Zion, and what can we do to help others understand, or what have you experienced to do in that aspect?
Well, I as well experienced that when I saw my first daughter and her beautiful little red head. And I remember as when our second daughter was born, just prior to her birth, I was concerned, how am I going to be able to divide this love that I have for this first daughter? I'm not sure how this is going to work. And then as the second daughter came, as I had learned with the first daughter, an emotion and a depth of love that I had not previously known, now here is a second daughter, a second child, and I am understanding how love grows, and I'm beginning to understand a depth and a degree of love that I had not previously known or experienced. So there's a lesson in that with fathers, and that occurred with the other children as they were born. So it's one thought that I have some others here, but it's just one thought of how this gets started.
And that's an important thought, because I think most people think of love as a finite. It's kind of like the love pie, and there's only so many slices, and if when they're gone, they're gone. But yet, what I was impressed in, and I was thinking, because I remember going through the same process, is, boy, this has helped me understand godly love. It's infinite love, meaning that it has no end, and it actually increases. Anyway, that's been my experience, and yet I love the way you articulated that, because that's so critical for every father to understand. Adrian?
Yes, love, I think we all agree it's probably the most important element when you raise your children. And listening to them and letting them know that you love them is so important. we often give for granted that they know that we love them. But we need to make that love manifest to them often. I love what President Manson said about that. He said, give your child a compliment, a hug, and say, I love you more. Always express your thanks. And then this wonderful phrase that probably we all heard, never let a problem to be solved become more important than a person to be loved. I had an experience with my son during Christmas time. We were driving a car, and I started to lecture him on something that I thought he could do better. Very patiently, he listened to me. And then he told me that I needed to listen to him better. And that really touched my heart. I said, this is Christmas time, and what better gift could I give at that time than listening better, become a better listener, more loving? And I love that my son would tell me that. And so listening to them is important. I remember the phrase from that old movie that love is never having to say I'm sorry. I agree with that, but not quite. I think love is saying I'm sorry when I need to say. And I think that's a great manifestation of love.
I think there's an interesting element here. As our Father in heaven, in his wisdom, just in the mere creation, he's given us a mouth and ears, both to be used, and eyes to see and observe, hearts to feel. I mean, I love what we can do this. I like what you're saying here. And the more we use all of the components of our senses, including our spiritual sense, the better off we are in connecting with people.
There are a couple of elements of fatherhood that have always just been really important in my heart and mind and with my eternal companion in this marvelous relationship and partnership with her have been central to our roles as parents. One has been that from the time of the birth of our first child, present in virtually every prayer I have offered has been a plea that my children would learn to recognize the voice of the Lord and would have the courage to respond to it. So as a parent, as a father, in companionship with my wife, as our children have grown, as they have moved from infancy through childhood and adolescence and young single adults and on in with their adult lives and become parents themselves, and now that prayer continues for our not only for our children but also for our grandchildren. There's this recognition that in a certain sense, as a father, my role is to help them connect with their eternal Father, because he will always be there.
I love this.
He will always be available to assist them. And so the prayer has been, and then our involvement as parents have been, to try and find the ways that we can help them recognize that voice and then have the confidence in themselves and in that voice to respond, the courage to respond when he speaks.
This is really good. Now I'm going to actually ask the harder question, perhaps, or the question that most people are thinking. This not only sounds right, it feels right, because it is right. So now how, as fathers, do you take that next step and help them to do that connection? What are some practical ways? Because my experience has been whenever I go out throughout the world with the church members, I find individuals that deeply want to do what the Lord wants them to do. And then they'll say, I'm not quite sure how I do that. So I kind of get the bigger picture. Now give me some help. So back to the father experts here. So Elder Collard, how do we do that? What have you done? Can you think of any examples to help them? Because the tendency is to do it for them. But how do you help them?
Well, there is a natural and frankly, I think a good type of tension that exists between children and parents. And it varies as children continue to mature. Between a growing spirit, son and daughter of God, growing in their desire to be independent, and the will or desire of a parent to help them avoid error, to keep them from error in the process. And so in the there are points of tension from time to time, and it varies according to age and circumstance. And my wife and I have found that in that regard, a good way to measure and to know how to respond as a parent and a good way to engage a child is to think of and to speak with them in terms of their ability to recognize that voice. So if there is a challenge, if they disobey on something,
or something happens,
they stayed out too late or something of that nature, when they come home, the discussion is not so much you disobeyed our rule, you disobeyed me. The discussion more is, I know that the Lord was speaking. Did you hear it? Were you able to recognize it? And so the question here as a parent, as I'm engaging you as a child, is, were you able to recognize the voice? And if you didn't, then that tells me as a parent some things that we need to work on. And if you did recognize it, but you ignored it, that also tells me as a parent something that I need to work on. And you have to use the age-appropriate terminology and those types of things in engaging this. But as the child begins to see your willingness, so if I recognize that you heard that voice, but you just chose to ignore it, then the tension, then the inclinations to say as a father, as a parent, okay, I'm gonna bring you closer to me here for a little while. So there are going to be some restrictions.
Right.
The intent of that is that I can have you close enough, I can spiritually have my arm around you.
But it's not punitive.
And it's not penalizing. It's instructive.
It's instructive.
And we're going to go through a time here. And I don't know how long it's going to be, but son or daughter, you have no idea how anxious I am to give you greater freedom. That's my desire as a parent. That's what I'm hoping occurs. But for a season, because I recognize you're still learning in this spiritual realm, I need you close. And we're going to review some things. But as soon as I see your willingness and your desire to respond to that, there's freedom and good luck with life and blessings on you. And you're going to be in my prayers and we're going to be watching. But then how close we have them to us and how much latitude there exists in that point of tension is measured not by whether they just obeyed me, but whether or not, first of all, making sure, as we discussed earlier in a prior segment, that I'm in tune with the Lord, now being in tune, hopefully, and providing direction that is consistent with the Lord's will, are they able to hear a confirming voice and listen to it? Because that voice will always be with them.
This is really good. As a matter of fact, I can't help but think that I've heard these type of principles before, like the way that Jehovah dealt with the children of Israel in varying times throughout the history. You have spiritually immature people, and he keeps them close, not because he's trying to punish them, but the laws and the experiences are very rigid and tight because he's trying to help them to increase their ability to exercise their agency or the freedom to exercise agency so that they'll be able to receive greater blessings. And then at other times he says, okay, wait a second, we relax these kind of things because you've earned the right to be able to exercise that. So principally based, that's what I love about what you're saying, is this is the way our Father in heaven, the way that Jesus Christ works with his people, and the same kind of a principle is keeping close, but always with the intent is we want you to be able to act according to your will, which is in alignment with our Father's will. This is really nice. As a matter of fact, I think that there's a grand principle here. As we understand our Father in heaven and see the way that he parents as a father, it's an example that can be applied in the way that we parent as fathers here on earth, is the way the trust, the grander. This is very nice. Adrian?
I love what we're learning, Elder Carton. It's beautiful. Being a Latin myself, I have a very visual mind. So what I am picturing in my mind right now is my role as a father is taking the hand of my son and raising it high enough so he can take the hand, Heavenly Father's hand with his hand and then be guided by him. If I'm able to do that as a father, I need to worry no more because I know that my son will walk on the right path. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, this is wonderful. And I love the approach that you're taking on this because this is so foundationally important. For example, I hear often from young adults, university age students who are making great decisions in their lives, career decisions, married decisions, where they're going to live, all these big life decisions. They feel the pressure. And they look at the context of going to their father as getting permission and or presenting something, tell me what to do. So they'll come and they'll say, Dad, I think that I want to marry so-and-so. Will you pray about it and see if it's right? But if I understand what you're saying here, this is really important, is the role of the father is not to determine right or wrong for the children, but help them to determine how to use personal revelation to be able to be guided and directed in personal decisions.
Let me share a personal experience here, if I might. It's I hope I can do this. It's kind of a sacred thing to me, but my father passed away while I was on my first mission after I'd been serving for about 9 months or so. But prior to that time, at the very early part of my mission, I had a very significant question on my mind that related to what my commitment, whether or not I was really going to give all of my heart, right, mind, and strength to this missionary service. And I wrote my father about it and expressed the question to him. And I received a letter that, of course, with his subsequent passing, now has become a treasure to me. It was a treasure anyway and added to by because of that event. But in his letter, he in essence said, son, I don't know what the answer is for you, but I do know how to get an answer. And so I'm going to teach you that. Mm. So his letter didn't respond to my question. His letter taught me how to go to Heavenly Father and get the answer. Now, when I did, it was a pretty powerful experience. But that was the beauty of this example in my life of a father saying, son, my role is to help, as Brother Ochoa has said, to help raise your hand that you can. I love that imagery, but it is the sacredness of this responsibility, this duty, this opportunity, this privilege that we have to act as fathers. And again, we have a perfect example in our Heavenly Father and His Son, as you have mentioned earlier.
You know, I can't help but, as you're sharing that tender moment, is think of a very simple song which has powerful meaning to me as the modeling that was going on of I am a child of God. But it's the principle here. As a father and son or father, daughter, etc., that relationship, lead me, guide me, walk beside me. But this is the part that I love when you're talking about this. So your father was leading and guiding, but it's teach me all that I must do, and, you know, when it comes out, so that I may be able to live with him. And so I love this concept, is there is leading going on and guiding going on, but it's helping individuals come to the knowledge. And I love that. That's such a good illustration of this. One of the things that I've been thinking that might be helpful also, in addition to this wonderful and rich conversation that we've been having about how we nurture and help, is some practical ways that fathers can engage. You mentioned, Adrian, about your son saying, you need to listen to me. And so seeking opportunities, simple things like talk less, listen more, find opportunities. And let me frame it in this way, is I remember as a young man, I was driving up a mountain in my car, and I was very young, and I was not an experienced driver. And it just seemed like my car was having a hard time going up this mountain. And then when I got into this about 35, 40 minutes, I could smell this horrible smell. So I pulled over and it was my brakes. And you would think that the brakes would only smell coming down the mountain. But I had left my parking brake on and forgot to take the parking brake off. And so here I'm driving up an incline, and it's hard enough to go uphill, But then to have the parking brake on as well. As soon as I turned that parking brake off, it was an easy travel. Uh-huh. So use that as a framework.
Okay.
Sometimes in our role as fathers, it is a difficult task. I'm not going to pretend it's an easy thing. But at the same token, it's not an overwhelming task. But sometimes fathers or men approach their experience of traveling up this great mountain that the Lord has set before us, and we have parking brakes on. And there are some things that they could do that's like taking the parking brake off to help them be better fathers. So with that in mind, Adrian, when we're looking at this, what comes to mind of some things that men could do to take off the brakes to be better fathers?
That's a wonderful question. You heard me mentioning before that in my home, I preside and my wife conducts.
Right.
So right before coming here, I asked that question to my wife.
Oh,
say, darling,
you are a brave man.
What do I say over there? And she told me, remember that the small things that we do constantly are the ones that help us the most. You know, sometimes it's not easy to find opportunities. We don't need to wait for crisis to find opportunities to teach. But what are the little things? Reading the scriptures together, praying together, family home evening, personal interviews with our children. The church has provided for us wonderful not only breaks that we need them sometimes, but a wonderful horsepower engine with a great battery and great wheels for our car to move at home.
Okay, this is good. So what would you say to somebody who listened to what you said? Because, by the way, I need to say, I do believe this is true. Say, oh, yeah, but those are the simple things. They really don't make that big of a difference. Come on, really. Reading scriptures together, family prayer, personal interviews. You sound like you're reading out of a handbook. They really don't make that big of a difference, do they? What would you say to someone that said that?
Well, just try without it. You know, these are the opportunities to constantly be teaching your children.
Okay.
Constantly. And now the church is doing so many more things for us. All we have to do is to go to the internet. And for youth, you find wonderful, beautiful videos that family home evenings, on home evenings need not to be boring at all. They love media, and you have wonderful media to teach them with. Just that alone will open many windows of communication with your children.
This is good. I like the way that you said it is finding opportunities to teach, finding opportunities to be with, finding opportunities to listen. So they're means to a greater end. Personally, I would say to someone, the question I asked you is, what would I say? I say, actually, they do work. And I think of Doctrine and Covenants in section 64 in verse 33, it says, wherefore, be not weary in well-doing, for ye are laying a foundation of a great work, and out of small things proceedeth that which is great. When you were talking, I thought, you know what?
Yes.
I can personally testify that that is the case. Every small fathering thing in my life, and I've been a father actually for about 28 years now of my life. My oldest son is 28 years old, and I'm thinking, wait a second, the things that have been the most significant things that I've tried to accomplish are all based on these small things. I have a firm testimony on interviews. For me, I've worked it out. Everyone does it differently, and that's the important part, is you find what works for the opportunity to teach, learn, listen, observe. I interview my children on Fast Sunday. I've done it since the moment that they were born, every Fast Sunday. And some people say, oh, well, I like to talk to my children all the time. And I'm thinking, well, wait a second. So do I. This is just a different purpose to be able to teach in a different setting under this experience, but we still have plenty of times we're out shooting basketballs or talking, walking, running, wrestling, whatever it might be, or just sitting together. There's different purposes. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And it works.
Yes, it does. I love that. It works.
You're a wonderful father. One of your daughters is just is going to her mission to France.
Yes, as is yours going to Japan on the same day they enter the MTC.
That's right. And I have one serving a mission in Taiwan right now. She is wonderful. And she constantly writes to us saying these kind of things. Oh, how I love my family. This is my testimony and my mission. What I teach all these families here is how wonderful it is to have family night evenings, praying together and doing all these things that really make a difference in our lives. And I'm so grateful that I had these experiences.
You know, it's interesting, and I love what you're saying, and I think this is an important part to point out, at least in my experience, is when we hear our children say things like that and it's heartfelt because it's meaningful to them because they're lifelong experiences. Sometimes if we back up the clock a few years, there are times sometimes where our children weren't so enthusiastic about family home evening or scripture study. They might say, oh, it's time for scripture study. Oh, I have so much homework. But I have learned as a father that perseverance and diligence are correct principles, the small things, and being brave to continue on, even when you might have a little pushback, will always bring the greater result in the end, and they will reflect upon that. I love this.
So I guess the message is don't push the brakes on those things.
That's right. And never give up in your fatherly responsibilities. And this is where I think I love what you've been saying with Nancy is that you talk with your wife and you even ask her, what am I doing as a father? I think that that's a great opportunity. I found my wife can actually give me insights that I'm not seeing. Here's something that's happening, or you might try this. And it's been very instructive as far as that goes. Now, sadly, once again, this is my hardest part is we are out of time again. And I'm thinking, wait, we just started getting into the trenches of fathering because it is a lovely, wonderful opportunity. But Adrian, when you look at it and you think of your experience of being a father, and you are a wonderful father and a good husband, and you're looking at those who are saying, what else can I do? You've mentioned some small things. Is there anything else that I could be doing here to be able to help that? What might you offer just in our closing moments here?
Well, you say I'm a wonderful father and to think, what else can I do? And I keep thinking, how can I be a better father?
Oh, I like this.
And I think that's something we need to have in our hearts constantly. Even when our children are grown up, even when our children are having problems, how can I be better? That needs to be a constant quest. We know that we don't quite become perfect in this world, but we're on a journey to trying to be like Heavenly Father and His Son. So we need to acknowledge that we have a responsibility as fathers. And we need to acknowledge that we need to be as good fathers as our Heavenly Father is to us. Don't we feel His patience with us, His constant companionship, His constant love? We need to be like Heavenly Father, and we need His help. And we need the power of the Holy Ghost to be upon our homes. And we need to use those little tools that we have in our home that are given to us by our prophets. And we need to use that communication that Elder Cardin told us about,
right,
to help him to hold the hand of Heavenly Father. And if we do that, we are immediately better fathers.
That is so good. I love how you emphasize that fatherhood is actually a responsibility and that our Father in heaven entrusts us with such a great responsibility to be like Him or to strive to be like Him. When I think of how the priesthood helps fathers do this is I think of in Exodus chapter 28, we speak of the high priest who is a symbol of the Savior, actually, when it comes to it. And the high priest in the Old Testament times wore specific clothing, and it was his job to dress in this specific clothing and go into the temple for a day of sacrifice. It was really a beautiful concept. But part of the things that he wore was he wore on his shoulders two black onyx stones, oblong stones. On one of these stones was engraven six names. On the other were six more names, which were the tribes of Israel, on his shoulders. And then also attached to those stones over his shoulders was a breastplate with 12 stones on it. And engraven on each of those stones was another name, an individual name, 12 tribes of Israel. Same names. What I like about this, when you say a responsibility, so what is the responsibility of a priesthood father? If we use this symbolism, it is that we bear the names of those that we have responsibility on our shoulders. So we have a temporal responsibility. I love what you're saying, the responsibility. But we also have a responsibility to bear them on our hearts. And it's our job as the priesthood father to help them come into the temple of the Holy of Holies to receive the greatest blessings. And that's a sacred responsibility and an opportunity.
Three words for your children. Bear your testimony.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Well, I appreciate everything that you and Elder Cardin have done to help us today to be able to learn more about fathering. And I think just in parting, since there's so much to learn on this, as you mentioned, Adrian, about the resources, and there are many. LDS.org, I love the prophetic instruction. Every conference and every time you'll hear about ways, and I encourage us to try those simple and even profound ways, and our Father in heaven will help us to be better fathers. And what a wonderful opportunity this is. You have been listening to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.